Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 134-127 win over the Clippers. We'll hear from Steph Curry, who scored 44 points, and head coach Steve Kerr. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, right, first game after the All-Star break, and the Warriors make a change to their lineup, and it did change some things as far as getting off to a better start. They played much better in the first quarter. They had an 11-point lead over the Clippers after the first quarter, and they win that game. Although I don't think it was a great game by any means. When all was said and done, they still had to withstand a run there by the Clippers. They kind of blew an 18-point lead, but, you know, great game for Steph Curry, 44 points. And I guess there's some joy for the Warriors in looking at, you know, trying to make some improvements here after the All-Star break.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that were different about this game. I mean, not just the lineup, and they put in JaVale McGee at center instead of Zaza to, you know, give him a little spark and also match up against DeAndre Jordan. But they did get off to a better start. They showed a little more energy, and they tweaked the rotation a little bit. So you saw some of the bench players in the first quarter instead of the second quarter. But I think what you're also seeing is Steve Kerr is trying to decide now who are going to be the group that he's going to depend on in the playoffs. We've got a pretty good idea who those guys are going to be, but it's going to be down to, you know, 9-10 guys eventually, not 12-13. And so I think he's kind of honing in on that as well. But I think you definitely saw some better energy for that game against the Clippers. I think that's something that you'll probably see for the rest of the regular season. Draymond mentioned it post-game. You know, it's about a little more focus, a little more attention to detail, developing good habits, which is something we've been kind of harping on for the last few weeks that they weren't doing. So, you know, that All-Star break obviously did them some good. And they now have, with the way the schedule is, a shorter run to the end of the regular season after the All-Star break. So I would hope, and I think you'll see even better defensive effort. But, you know, hey, they didn't give up 40 in the first quarter, so baby steps.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key, is playing better defense in the first quarter, because we know the offense can click throughout the game. And I guess JaVale brings that to the table. You know, he's longer, maybe a little more energy than Zaza. But I do think ultimately you're going to see Jordan Bell in that spot. I don't know what you think, Ray, but I think when you get to the playoffs, I think if Bell's healthy and he shows what he can do in maybe the last 20 games, you know, hopefully he comes back here soon, that he's going to be the guy in that spot because of the fact that he brings a lot of energy to the table and a lot more versatility than the other two guys.
Well, what Steve Kerr wants is the versatility to match up against different styles. So Bell gives you that versatility. Not every team, but some teams. I don't know if you're going to see him starting, but yeah, you're going to see him play a prominent role. And hopefully coming back pretty soon, maybe the next game or two. And that's going to be another thing that they're going to assess going down the stretch. There's no doubt that athleticism gives them a different dimension. It's something they've been missing. And, you know, the thing with JaVale that you like is that in transition, he can beat guys down the floor for lobs and things like that. And he does bring a lot of energy. Zaza brings another set of skills. And I know a lot of fans like to rip Zaza. I know there's that group out there. I don't know if he's the Brandon Belt of the Warriors or not.
But, right.
but, you know, there's that certain element that doesn't appreciate what he brings to the table. I know Steve Kerr does. But I think that what he's trying to do now is look at different ways of attacking this because, yeah, they were kind of stuck in the mud. You know, they were 4-4 before the All-Star break. Wait, we're not used to seeing that with this group of guys. So, you know, that's part of the ebb and flow of the season.
Let's hear what Kerr had to say after the game, his overall thoughts on the win over the Clippers.
Yeah, it was a good step in the right direction. I think we did a lot of good things, but you can tell, like, it's not like we're just going to wave a magic wand and, you know, be on top of our game again. But I liked our start. We got off to a better start, and for the most part, took care of the ball pretty well. I thought we had a stretch there in the first half where we kind of lost focus, and that allowed the Clippers to get back in the game. We lost the possession battle, which, well, you know, is important to us. You know, they got 13 more field goal attempts than us, and the same number of free throws. So, you know, we shot 63% and at home, and the game came down to the wire. So, you know, it wasn't perfect, but there were a lot of good things that we can build on, and I think we're trending in the right direction.
Definitely trending in the right direction. You know, the turnovers, they didn't have any the beginning of the game. I think it was like the first 7 or 8 mm-hmm. minutes, they had zero. And then they started to turn over a little bit, and that's just going to happen. But, you know, I like the idea of trending in the right direction, because it does seem like now there needs to be a little bit of a sense of urgency. And you did hear it from Kerr. There was the audio assist where Kerr got into it a little bit with his players, just say, you know, he wanted it now. Let's pass the ball. Let's make some plays. Let's have some urgency. And that's, I think, what a lot of people are looking for from this team of late.
Yeah, and everybody knows what they've been through the last few years, and that they're kind of pacing themselves. And I think even Draymond and Kevin Durant mentioned it after the game. But I think Durant had a key phrase that they've been throwing around: don't try to hit the home run, just hit singles, you know. And so they're trying to work through that as well. Don't make the silly pass, and they've been doing that so often. And I think that's a function of laziness, and in that you are fatigued a little bit mentally, and you start making the sloppy pass. But I think they all recognize that at some point here, they got to start hitting the pedal to the metal. And I think that you're starting to see that now. You will see that as we're going down the stretch. But these guys have been through it before. We've mentioned this before. It's not their first rodeo. They understand, I think, intellectually, that they've got to get it going and develop these good habits as they roll into the postseason. But, you know, to actually go out there and do it, it's not always easy to flip the switch. I mean, if people are assuming they're going to do that, it's not automatic. But I think that you're starting to see steps in that direction. They did get off to a better start. I think Kerr mentioned something that was a little troubling last night, the offensive rebounds for the Clippers.
Yeah.
So they ended up getting more shots, and that's one of the reasons they were able to keep the game close. They got up by, 17, and they couldn't deliver the knockout punch. They started turning the ball over, and that got the Clippers back into the game and kind of gave them a new life. But what did they end up with? 15 turnovers that were converted to 24 Clipper points. That's not the worst they've had lately, so I guess that's another step in the right direction.
Exactly. And, you know, on the offensive glass, DeAndre Jordan is tough to control, but there were some easy baskets there. I mean, Harrell had, how many dunks did he have where he was just open and they kind of just, forgot about him or something? Those are the things I think that annoy Steve Kerr, you know, those easy baskets that they were giving up.
Yeah, there were still some defensive lapses. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they gave up 127. Some of that is the pace of the game. And I think the Clippers are an interesting group now, and they've been playing very good basketball. I mean, they went into Boston and beat the Celtics, and DeAndre Jordan had 30. You know, this is a totally different group now. Austin Rivers and DeAndre Jordan are, I guess, the notable guys that are still hanging around. But there are some interesting pieces on this team, and I can see the hand of Jerry West in here trying to reform this team and you know, make it a little more versatile. But I think that, you know, after they came in here and beat the Warriors a few weeks ago, beat them soundly, they were going to come in here with confidence. There wasn't going to be any back down. So they made it a good game. There was definitely a lot of good energy on both sides. But I think, you know, in the end, for the Warriors, however they tweak the lineup, whatever they settle on, it's down to the players, right? It's down to the players to refocus. They know it, like I said, intellectually, but you have to go out there and actually carry it out. And, you know, I felt like we saw a first step in that direction.
More Dubs OT in just a moment.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
You know, you mentioned the Clippers. They've got their owner traveling on the road with them, watching games and heckling the Warrior Steve Kerr. Steph Curry, I should say. Steve Ballmer is the owner, and he's there, and Steph Curry's shooting right in front of him. I guess he was saying some things to him, and Steph stared him down after he made a basket. That was pretty good.
Yeah, not exactly the best sportsmanship by Ballmer. I mean, he kind of looked like a doofus there, but, you know, I mean, that's just all. I love it, though. It's just part of the theater of the NBA, which makes it so interesting. You've got so many characters now, and most of them in a good way, not in a bad way. Oh, excuse me. We had a neighbor's dog here jump up and say hello.
Speaking of hecklers.
yeah, that'll be next, using live animals. that's going to be that's going to be interesting to see how Ballmer handles this with his team going into the future. You can't hate the Clippers anymore, right?
No.
I mean, Blake Griffin's gone. CP3 is gone. I don't think the Warriors necessarily hate them anymore. Although Steph Curry loves to beat them. I know that. He loves to torment them. And they play the kind of style that I think plays into what he likes to do. And I think a key sequence, by the way, toward the end of the game, the fourth quarter, how many times did he come around double screens or staggered screens that were near the top of the key or above the top of the key and launch from 28 feet and kill them? Because, when he's on a roll, it doesn't matter where he is. You got to account for them. And they didn't do that. So I wonder if you're going to see more of that, more of the high pick and roll, more of the high screens to free up Curry, because that's one guy who I think historically has done better after the All-Star break. So part of the emphasis to get him rolling going into the playoffs. But, man, you can't lose sight of that guy. You can't go under the screens against Curry when he's hot like he was last night. But just a tremendous performance once again.
Well, sometimes you see teams do it where they run a play and then they get away from it, even though it was working. And the Warriors went to the same play, really, I think it was three times in a row. And to me,
that's
a no-brainer. I mean, do that. If it's working, go ahead and do it. And, you know, there are a number of times, really, where DeAndre Jordan got switched out on Curry in that game. And I thought it was funny to watch because, you know, you're sitting there watching Curry kind of just dribble circles around DeAndre Jordan, and he actually worked really hard. And, you know, he tried really hard, and even Reggie Miller was giving him credit, saying, you know, he did a fairly good job to move Curry around so he didn't just get a wide-open shot. But when you have those kind of opportunities, you might as well take advantage.
Well, yeah, I think that's the sort of the calculus you go through is like, do we – this? I mean, you know, do we keep beating on the same drum? They're going to figure it out. No. In the NBA, you run that play as many times as you can until they stop you, and they didn't stop him last night. And oh, by the way, they probably could have used Avery Bradley, who's such a good on-ball defender. But even then, I mean, Steph's so elusive that, in the right circumstance, like I said, when he's rolling, very, very tough to stop him. I love this league because even though you have very smart coaches and you have a lot of different schemes out there, in the end, it's down to the players, and it's down to maybe two or three plays, right? And a lot of it is pick and roll in this league. That's the most successful play maybe in the history of the league, right?
Yeah.
Pick and roll. And it just depends on who you do it with. I saw it in Utah when the Jazz drafted Malone and Stockton, and they developed that chemistry. And their pick and roll was as devastating as has ever been in this league. So I think that's, I like a little PB&J, a little peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I like a little P&R in my basketball, too.
Yeah, that was the best combo right there in Utah. No doubt about that. Curry, 44 points, 14 of 19 from the field, and 8 of 11 on threes. So, I mean, he was just really on his game. It was amazing to see the way he could come out and do that, you know, especially because you wondered, as he's in a little bit of a slump after the way he shot in the All-Star game. That wasn't great, but that happens. I mean, he has those streaks where, you know, he'll come back and then he just can't miss.
I got to see what his all-time percentage is at the Staples Center. I don't think it's that great. I mean, with a few exceptions. But, you know, there are a whole lot of different factors going on in the All-Star game. I don't know with Steph whether, you know, his focus is all the way there. Or, you know, he didn't seem to be too upset, let's put it that way. And he had a chance to win it at the end, right? And they smothered him.
Yeah.
And just as an aside, they actually had a pretty good compete level at the All-Star game. That's not saying much, but it's better than they've had, you know. So that was a step forward. I kind of like the way it turned out, actually. And I watched more of the game than I usually do. I kind of joke and be sarcastic about the All-Star game because it's been such a farce, you know, for years and years. But I applaud them for trying something different. And, you know, it worked to an extent. You know, having the superstars choose the teams made it a nice wrinkle, and there seemed to be a whole lot of camaraderie, but they did play a little bit harder, so it's good for them for that. But, you know, for Steph, I mean, if he's healthy and you have Clay going and you have Durant healthy, that's the bedrock, right? Because the defense is, you know, something that you've been able to count on with the Warriors. I don't know if it's going to be as stout going into the postseason this year. There are going to be teams that they're just going to have to, I mean, it's a stupid phrase, but they're going to have to outscore. Of course they're going to have to outscore them, but there are going to be some track meets going on, and you're going to need those guys to get going. So I think that, like I said, that's going to be an emphasis for Curry, is to get him going and feeling good going into the postseason.
Dubs OT continues after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With four Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Well, everybody's been talking about the first quarter because that's this quarter where the Warriors were outscored coming into this game, and they've been blowing everybody away the rest of the quarters. But let's hear what Steph Curry had to say about the better first quarter against the Clippers.
I think we came out with a lot of energy, great intentions on both ends of the floor. JaVale gave us a different look that I think sped us up a little bit on the offensive end, gave us a threat, at, you know, above the rim and pressure, you know, in the paint. And for the most part, we took care of the ball, which was, you know, winning the possession game for us is huge. And it was nice to kind of, you know, like you say, build a lead and play from ahead, you know, the entire game and take advantage of those first 12 minutes.
And at the end of the first quarter, Curry made that ridiculous shot from just inside half court. We've seen him make those, and he always takes those in practice to just kind of, you know, get a feel for it. And every once in a while, they go in, and then the crowd goes crazy. It's a lot of fun to see that.
I'd like to see the stat for him as far as end of quarter shots or end of half shots. You know, how he stacks up against other NBA players. He's got to be right up there. He's one player who's not afraid to take it. How many times do you see that where the player will just wait a beat until the horn sounds so it doesn't count against the shooting percentage? But,
right.
You know, Steph doesn't worry about that. And the funny thing about that shot was, looked like they'd cut him off, right? It wasn't like they were not mindful of him. It looked like they had cut him off in half court, but, you know, he did a little sidestep and found an opening, and that's all he needs. Seriously, from 45 feet in, that's all he needs when he's in the right mode. That's how, you know, he's the deadliest long-range shooter in the history of the NBA. And let's just stop and appreciate that. And I know you've been watching the game a long time. this is going to date me, but I watched Jerry West play.
Oh, yeah.
I watched all
those
guys playing in his era. This is the greatest shooter we have ever seen. Period.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And one of the best, you know, he's up there anyway, is his teammate Klay Thompson, and he was proving it early on. He hit his first seven. I was thinking at that point, Ray, he was going to score 40 because, I mean, he was just on. Everything's going in. And then in the second half, he just didn't take as many shots. And I think he had only two of his 19 in the second half, but he had 17 in the first half. And it's great when you have both of those guys going like that. They're so different. And they talked about on the telecast about how Klay Thompson is more of a catch-and-shoot guy, but he can create, too. I mean, he had a couple times there where he would dribble to his right or to his left and then shoot that fadeaway, and, you know, he seems to like to do that as well.
Yeah, and that's actually a little bit of carryover from the All-Star game because he shot very well in the All-Star game and just missed out on the three-point contest, losing to Devin Booker. But he's, you know, one of those guys who's a little bit streaky, but still quite reliable, certainly at both ends of the floor. And yeah, there are points where they need his scoring and other times that they don't. You know, they've had him in with the second group, and I don't know if that's always helped him. You know, maybe you want to play him more with Curry going forward and see if that just helps him at the offensive end. But he can create, I've been saying it a million times, he can dribble to the elbow and get that shot anytime he wants to, as can Durant, because of their size advantage. In almost any matchup. And he's become a better passer as well on top of everything else. So, I mean, he's a pretty well-rounded player. He's not the creator that Steph Curry is. Very few people are, but he's not bad. And so, you know, for these guys, I mean, again, we've watched so much of this in the last few years. It's a different feel to it this year because they've had some lows as far as losing games at home. But they know that they have to ramp up for the postseason. And, you know, we've been worrying about it for a few weeks now, but I think they have sort of an internal clock in their mind when that starts happening. And I think that clock is starting now.
We'll be back with more Warriors conversation right after this.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
I'll tell you who I think is a really valuable player on this team, and we've been talking about him for weeks, and that's David West, because I don't know, he just seems rejuvenated. I mean, not that he was, you know, slow last year, but he's making everything. I mean, he was 4-for-4 from the field. He's shooting over 60% on the season. You know, you bring him in, and he gives you toughness. He's just a tenacious guy to have out there. And I think the bench, you know, maybe is taking some criticism this year, but he's the guy that's kind of been able to stand out. What do you think? I mean, how valuable is David West here down the stretch and into the playoffs?
Well, he's been their best bench player. He's been the most consistent. He's been like a metronome all year long. He's played better than he did last year, and I think he's you know, more comfortable in the system now. And, you know, a very good passer, too, from the post on top of everything else, whether you go low post or high post. And the great thing is, and this is something I'd be very interested to see, is whether you throw him in with the starters, you know, like Curry and Thompson, and then the defense has to account for him, too, right? Because, they're trying to close out the three-point line. They're trying to double Curry, things like that. And they're going to leave West open at the elbow, where he's been deadly this year. I have to look at the two-point shooting percentage, but I think he's right there at the top in the NBA. He's right there at the top in shots from the elbow, from the free throw line area, and the toughness, as you mentioned. I mean, ain't nobody going to mess with this guy. So, you know, and the veteran savvy on top of everything else. you know, the problem for Steve Kerr is going into the postseason. This is one guy you want to make sure is ready to go, has the energy. So you have to be very mindful of his minutes. And so if you start him, that's a little bit problematic. And probably Kerr feels a lot more comfortable with West doing with the second unit because, as we talked about, he's been the one dependable guy. And sometimes they do struggle for offense. Like to see more out of Iguodala coming down the stretch. And, you know, he just signed the contract. He's got his money, but he's kind of paced himself this year. I don't mind that for a guy who's 33, 34 years old. You see it about once every three or four games, the energy. And I would trust that you'll see that in the postseason when you get, you know, you're playing every other day. You're not having back-to-backs. But that's a guy I think also there's going to be a real emphasis on getting him ready. And, again, he's been there before. He's been pacing himself. But I'd like to see a little more offensive aggressiveness out of him. We have seen it before. He has a good sense of when he needs to turn on that switch. We saw in Game 5 of the Finals last year. I think that's another key guy that they kind of have to get going a little more, get some confidence at the offensive end.
Big game coming up on Saturday against Oklahoma City at Oracle Arena against Oklahoma City. And that's the only team the Warriors have faced and not beaten this season.
Yep.
And it's just been butt whippings, you know, each time that the Warriors have played the Thunder, both by more than 20 points on these losses. So there's a lot to play for here. And I guess that's good because we've been talking all year about how the Warriors need motivation to win some games. They've got it for this one. They should be fired up more than any game, you know, more than most games anyway, this season to play the Thunder on Saturday, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. What did we see from the Warriors in the past few years? If a team had beaten them the next time they faced them, they beat them like a drum.
Right.
Not so much this year, right? There hasn't quite been that fire. I would expect that on Saturday because, as you said, they've been run off the floor by OKC. They had an embarrassing loss here. OKC is a team that does give them problems. So, you know, the matchups that they have and the length that they possess give the Warriors problems. And I thought it was interesting last night. Steve Kerr said JaVale McGee will start again on Saturday.
Yeah.
So they're trying to, you know, bring in an infusion of energy here and pace for the Warriors to match what OKC can do. You know, it comes down to Westbrook, as we know, but Paul George in the last game against the Warriors was unbelievable. Both
oh,
ends
yeah,
before.
He was
outstanding, and he seems to be comfortable there. I don't know how long he stays in OKC, but, you know, he's obviously a key guy for them. And the other part of this is it's a potential second-round matchup of the playoffs. So, you know, we use the phrase full attention. I mean, if this game doesn't have their full attention for a regular season, you know, late season game, I don't know what does. And, of course, it'll be on national TV.
The biggest problem that I've seen in these games, and the numbers back up, turnovers for the Warriors for some reason. I mean, I don't know if it's the Thunder defense or what, but they're turning it over at a terrible rate against Oklahoma City. I mean, that's the thing. You can't give Westbrook turnovers. He's just going to run right down the floor and convert those into points.
That has to be job one Saturday against OKC for that very reason that you mentioned, because of the turnovers, OKC was running downhill all night long in that last game here. And you could see it early on, and you could see it early on in OKC. That game got away from the Warriors early, and a lot of it had to do with the turnovers, the silly passes. Again, trying to hit the home run, you can't do that against this team. The skip passes, cross court, they're too long. They'll deflect passes. They're very good at that. So, you know, I heard Steph Curry talk about it, taking better care of the basketball. I mean, if the Warriors do that one thing, take better care of the basketball, they have the talent to beat this team. They should. And I, for whatever reason, that hasn't happened in these previous two games. But that's part of the energy and focus and the good habits they're trying to develop going into the postseason. So this would be a good test of that Saturday night.
Before we finish up, there was some talk about maybe the NBA would go to a little bit of a different playoff system here in the near future, where they would have, you know, 1 through 16 of the best teams and forget about this East-West thing. What do you think about that?
Well, that's been historically the problem the last few years, right? The imbalance between the East and the West. That's cyclical. It could go both ways. It could turn around in a few years, and the East could be much better than the West. So I don't know if that's necessarily the answer, but, you know, why have conferences then? If you're going to go 1 through 16, And, you know, you want to play during the regular season, you know, in conference and have the same schedule that way. And then you're going to change it up in the postseason. I don't know if I'm crazy about that, but I understand the urgency to try to find something different, because there has been an imbalance. It's been an easier path for teams like the Cavaliers going into the postseason. Maybe have them face some Western teams. But in that case, why not just have just do away the conferences and just have a full 30-team league, 32-team league, or whatever. By the way, I fully expect them to get back to Seattle. And I think that
would be great.
The Warriors and Kings are apparently going to play a preseason game there this fall or late summer. And I think that's going to be interesting. KD's pretty charged up about that. But, I get that they're trying to look at something different that'll be a little more equitable. I'm not sure with all the working parts involved there that this is going to be the final answer, but I do think it's a step forward. So the way it would work out here right now, if we look at the standings, would it be any different for a team like the Warriors or the Rockets or the Celtics? I don't know. I don't know if the path would be necessarily any easier or any harder for them. But, I get that, and this is one thing I do like about Adam Silver. He is open to new ideas.
The only thing I see is that, Ray, maybe not all the time, but some of those matchups would bring about a lot more travel. I mean, if you're going to play a team like Miami in the first round instead of playing a team like Portland, then all of a sudden you're looking at a lot of miles flying, and then it becomes a little more tiring.
Well, that's where you get into can you keep up with the 2-2-1-1-1 format? Because it used to be 2-3-2, right? And of course, the problem with that is if you have the two and the two, and you have the home court advantage, and you get two wins right away at home, maybe a little bit of an unfair advantage. So it's like 6-1, half a dozen of the other. You do it the other way, and there's some disadvantages to that as well. But with the travel in a 7-game series, and say you got the Warriors against Miami in a playoff series, that's brutal as far as schedule. After a long regular season, that's really, really tough. The only time you'd want to see that, I think, is in the finals. Other than that, that is a huge problem, is the travel. And, you know, I mean, we experienced this when I was with the Warriors in Cleveland in 2015. You get to June, and weather happens all over the country, and it just plays havoc with travel schedules. It took me 24 hours to get from Cleveland to San Francisco after the Warriors won the title in 2015. I slept on the floor of Bush Airport in Houston because we couldn't get a connecting flight that night because the weather was so crazy. You had tornadoes and crap all over the Midwest. And the plane had to fly a different route around a storm, which I appreciated them doing, by the way. But because of that, we missed a connecting flight, and you know, we had to sleep the night there. I admit I stole a wheelchair just so I could prop up my feet, but there was nobody else around. But it was tough in that terminal. We looked like a bunch of refugees. So, you know, I know it's a little different for teams traveling, but still, you get weather issues. That's one that I could see as being a big drawback.
Absolutely. All right, Ray. Well, we look forward to talking about this Thunder game and some of the other games coming up for the Warriors. Talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, Jeff.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.